once again to the book of Acts, chapter 10, if you would. And we're going to take one more look at verses 38 and 39 of chapter 10. You may recall in our last couple of studies, Peter was called to the house of Cornelius. Now remember, Cornelius was a Roman Gentile. Peter was called to speak in the house of a Gentile, a thing that was forbidden of the Jews. It was against the Jewish law. Yet the Lord prepared Peter in a vision on top of a house in what's the name of that town again? It's right here. Boy, I tell you, some names just get right on the tip of my tongue and I can't say them out until I see them. You know, remember, Peter was in Joppa. He was sent down into Joppa. He was told to go down there and wait for the Lord to speak to him. And the Lord spoke to him by a vision of a sheet that was on all four corners wrapped up. And in that sheet were all manner of animals to eat, clean and unclean. And the Lord said, pick and eat. And the Lord... And Peter said, nay, Lord, I would not eat because I would never eat an unclean thing. And the Lord said to him, don't call what I have cleaned, what I have cleansed, unclean. Don't call things that are common unclean. So he prepared Peter's heart, but not only did he prepare Peter's heart, he prepared the house of Cornelius. He gave Cornelius a vision. He said, your prayers and your alms have been answered, have been heard. Go send men down to Joppa and fetch this man, Simon Peter, and bring him back, for he'll have words for you. So Peter went down there and he came back. And if you recall, in verses 38 and 39, let's start with this. God had prepared Peter to preach, and he prepared the house of Cornelius to hear. And Peter began with the base things of all messages in verse 36. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And then in verse 37 he says, that word. In other words, that event. The very event Christ and him crucified was a known event. And it was known throughout all the land. Our Lord's crucifixion was not done in secret. This event affected everyone. Now I want you to hold your place here in Acts chapter 10 and turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. As I said, this was not done in secret. And we're about to see how the whole world was about to experience what the Lord had done on that cross. They may not have known what it was they were experiencing, but the whole world saw it. Are you with me in Luke chapter 23? Look at verses 44 and 45. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, you think about that for just a moment. From the sixth to the ninth, that's 3 hours. Now, as I understand it from the commentators, the sixth hour is considered to be the noon hour in those times. So we're talking about noon daylight, and all of a sudden everything goes dark. We've seen eclipses, haven't we? I've never heard of an eclipse that lasted for 3 hours. Have you? The whole world knew what was going on. Something was happening. If you were awake during that time of day, you could not help but look out and say, what in the world is going on around here? This is about the weirdest, strangest thing I've ever seen. It was not done in secret. When Peter, back in our text in Acts chapter 10, when he says that word, he's talking about the event. He's talking about the gospel message. Christ in him crucified. He's not talking about going down and feeding the poor. He's not talking about all the wonderful things that we should be doing for those who are sick and poor in this world. He's talking about the only thing that saves, Christ in him crucified. In Matthew 27:45, we read this, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." 3 hours. This event affected everyone, and it was the talk of the town. It was an obvious thing. For God had anointed this one called Jesus. His works he did proved who he was. Look with me now at verses 38 through 40. Acts chapter 10, verses 38 through 40. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And when we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, this Jesus, the word of this man had gone out through all the land. Him God had raised up the third day and showed him openly. This is that word. Christ is the anointed Messiah. In Luke chapter 3:22, you don't need to turn there, we hear these words from God Almighty himself, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him," speaking upon Christ, "and a voice came from heaven saying, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Our Lord came with all power. That's what it says in Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He came healing the sick and the palsy, as we read in Mark 2:17. "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." The Messiah had come. And at his appointed time, he had been hung on a tree and crucified by wicked hands. He came to serve you and I and all for whom the Father had given to him, and by laying down his own life in our stead. Matthew 16:21, we read this, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go." Not that he might, not that there was a possibility, but he must go. Our Lord was always doing what his Father, what his Father's will was for him. He must go to Samaria. He must go to Jerusalem. He must come to rescue. I love that statement. He must come to the Dalles. He must come to wherever he is having one of his men preach the true gospel, and bringing one of his children to hear those truths preached. He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Wicked hands crucified our Lord, but it was according to his purpose. We read in the book of Acts chapter 2, you'll recall this not too long ago, him, speaking of our Lord, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's why he was called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world in Revelation. I saw him as a lamb sitting on his throne, slain. As slain from before the foundation of the world. Delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But can we not be most thankful for the next thought? The next thought that we read there in verse 40 was this: death could not hold him. Our Lord didn't stay in the grave. Look at what it says in verse 40. Him, speaking of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who was anointed by the Holy Ghost, Jesus of Nazareth, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Remember what I just quoted from Matthew? How that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised the third day? Listen to what it says in John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he was speaking about himself. In the 10th chapter of John, verse 17, we read this, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. And because our Lord had conquered death, we shall be co-victors. Victory in Jesus, in life through Him. It says in John 6:39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Our great Lord was not hidden in some backroom hotel. He walked openly. He ate. He was seen plainly with those. He sat at dinner just to be with them. Did he not take Thomas, doubting Thomas, and say, here, put your hand in my side? Our Lord walked this earth afterwards with the holes in his hands. You could see him openly. Look what it says though in verse 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Listen to what Matthew Henry says about that. They, speaking of those who sat and ate with him, they were not so by chance, but they were chosen before of God to be witnesses of his resurrection. And in order to this, had their education under the Lord Jesus and intimate converse with him, that having known him so intimately before, that they might the better be assured it was him. He didn't just show up and, okay, here I am, and then descend. No, he spent some time with them proving who he was. Remember the time I walked with you? Remember the time I walked with you before? That was then, this is now. I can imagine that conversation he was having with one of his disciples. I told you I had to go to Jerusalem and suffer. But now I sit with you and eat. Oh my, the wonder. The wonder that it must have been to sit there and be a witness of our Lord and Savior sitting on his throne. I know he was walking this earth and he hadn't ascended yet, but our Lord, when he rose from the grave, he had been on his throne from that moment on. All power in heaven and earth had been given unto him. They had not, goes on Matthew Henry, they had not a sudden and transient view of him, but a great deal of free conversation with him. It says they did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. This implies that they saw him. They saw him eat. They saw him drink. Witnesses, they're dining with him at the Sea of Tiberias. And don't forget the two disciples supping with him at Emmaus. Remember the two disciples on the road? Remember how he revealed himself to them? Did you never stop to think how they didn't recognize who he was as they walked along the road? It wasn't until after he left when he opened their minds to who he truly was, and they saw the joy and the glory of our Lord expounding unto them all the things in the Old Testament to them. It must have been a long road. Oh, folks, this is what God does for you and I right now. This is what He's doing for us right. We must all be taught of God. I'm standing before you talking, but if it's my voice speaking to you and that's all you hear, you're losing it. But if God is speaking to you through His Word, think of the joy that is. We could be wandering around in some other religion out there today, thinking that we're in light, but yet still in darkness. Oh, for the grace of God. Oh, for the love that He has for His people. He proved that he was the true and living God in a real body. But this is not all. writes Matthew Henry, they saw him without any terror or consternation, which might have rendered them incompetent witnesses. For they saw him so frequently, and he conversed with them so familiarly, that they did eat and drink with him. It is brought as proof of clear view which the nobles of Israel had of the glory of God. And it says in Exodus 24, talking about this very thing that we're looking at now, where they sat and ate with him, it says, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And these nobles saw God and did eat and drink with him. Folks, our salvation is a personal experience. We drink and dine with our Lord. He may seem sometimes afar off, but when the waves of this world are of death are swelling around our heads, our Lord is Lord of all, including those waves. And we, as children of the Most High, have seen His power in our lives quiet that storm at times. He'll do it again. Have you ever stopped to think about this? Our dear brother, Don Jukic, the seas are finally quiet for him. No more disturbance. No more waves over his head. And every single one, every single one for whom God laid down his life for, will be right there in that boat with our Lord and Savior. No more tears. No more sorrows. Our Lord is Lord of all, including those waves. And we've seen the power of our Lord in quieting the storms. When He says, peace, be still, He says it to our hearts. Look at the front of today's bulletin with me, if you would, please. I love these words. Amen. This is all my trust. Amen. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now tell me that don't float your boat. I can just imagine Gene saying that. That means we're in His hands. We're in His hands, and if He loves us, nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. There is therefore now no condemnation, no charging to those who are in Christ Jesus, because all of that charge has been laid on our Savior. And knowing that, we can. I know we don't. I know we stumble. I know we struggle. Because I do. But I have a faith and a belief that God has placed in my heart now, and that is that He won't let me go. Amen. Nothing can get in the way of our Savior's love for us. Nothing. He gave His only begotten Son. How shall anything else get in the way of the love of God for His people? This is the message that Peter brought to the house of Cornelius. This is the word that went out unto all of Jerusalem and the world around. Look again with me at verses 38 this time. Let's go all the way through to verse 42. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the rest of this chapter. But this morning, I think we'll call it a morning right there, if you would. Please stand with